Happy game day, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle and Junie show. I'm Michelle Knezvik, joined with Junie Riddle. We will have you covered from now until 10 a.m. this morning, and then we will hand the baton to Caroline Fenton for her final edition of Southeastern Carolines. But since it's a game day, we also have the NFL pregame show for you all at Twin Peaks starting at 4:30 today. So tune into the NFL pregame show live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, located at 1634 Galleria Boulevard. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 4:30 to 6:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. It is game day. I am signing in live from Jacksonville this morning. I will have you covered on 102.5 The Game social media, also on my personal account at Michelle Knezovic. But Junie and I have a lot to discuss to preview this game. I don't think an hour is enough this morning. Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy are signing in live from our game studios in Nashville. Junie, how are we doing this morning? You ready for a game day?
Oh, I'm super excited for this game. Winner take all. It doesn't get better than this, especially when it comes to the team you're covering. But Michelle, are you in a hotel room right now? Because I mean, not very many hotels have a whole kitchen set up back there. I mean, that'd be pretty nice.
I actually do have to say, I have to shout out my best friend, Reagan. I was able to make this a work / seeing friends trip. They have a house down here, so didn't have to pay for that hotel, which is very nice. So breakfast was cooked. We got coffee. You know, it is just, it's the best you could ask for. So
just keep rubbing it in, Michelle. Just keep rubbing it in.
Yeah, right now we're drinking community coffee, struggling this morning.
The great community coffee here on Murfreesboro Road.
I will say though, it's chilly this morning. So for any of the fans who traveled, which there were a lot of Tennessee Titans fans on my flight last night to Florida, I want to reenact a little scenario that actually happened on the flight last night, guys. So the flight attendants, you know, going through all the protocols when you're on a flight, and she hears a little ruckus in the back of the plane. I think like the back of the bus when you're in elementary school, right? So they're in the back of the plane, a little ruckus. She's like, I can hear you all back there. Like, quiet down. And then she's like, shh, into her microphone. And then all of a sudden you hear a Jags fan go, Duval. And then you hear a Titans fan after it go, tighten up. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm like, this is like an 8 p.m. flight. I'm like, I'm tired. This did not go on the whole flight. So people were traveling in numbers. I saw a lot of apparel in the Nashville airport last night. And guys, just from talking to Mia O'Brien on the Chase Michelle show this week. So she does sports talk radio here in Jacksonville. She said that this city is just on fire right now. And it is expected to be quite the playoff environment tonight in their stadium.
I mean, it's basically a playoff game. The winner is going to go, and the loser, you know, outside of some crazy circumstances and some ties, the winner of this game is going to go to the playoffs, and the loser is going to be going home packing. And when you look at this matchup, you know, Jeffrey Simmons said it best. He wanted Titans fans to come out and show out after, you know, the Dallas Cowboys came to town last Thursday and really packed the stadium. You know, he wants Titans fans to really step up and do that because, you know, kind of like we mentioned last week, this is a really big game for this Tennessee Titans organization. I think it is derived on this matchup today. And I think if they lose, it could really turn the thought process of the front office and management of what direction they should go with the team. So big, big game for the Tennessee Titans today. I don't think they've had a bigger game, especially in the regular season in the last couple years.
Well, Junie, you hit on it, but that is not the only thing that is happening around Nashville right now. We also have some big Predators news. So if you join us every Saturday morning, then you know how we like to start our Saturdays with our morning brew, which is served up by the Nashville Jam Company. Jared, hit it.
Taking you around the sports world for the biggest headlines. This is the morning brew. Presented by Nashville Jam Company on Michelle and Junie.
So grab your coffee. You know what time it is. We like to do our top headlines first thing in the morning on the Michelle and Junie show. And like I said, served up by the Nashville Jam Company. How about them Predators, guys? Started off this season, you know, a little shaky, a little rough. Fans were quite frustrated, and we had the text saying, fire John Hines, fire David Poile, but have really seemed to, you know, start trending in the right direction and really start to just figure some things out offensively. They had a 3-2 win over Peter Laviolette and the Capitals last night. But I need to go back to the game in Carolina the night before. UC Soros, guys, 64 saves.
That's like unheard of. I mean, what is that, second all-time saves in a game, and then number one in Predators history? I mean, an absolute dominant performance by UC Soros and really led them to a victory over a true cup contender on the road. Excellent game.
I mean, a lot of times you will go two or three games and not have 64 saves as a goaltender, so that is just phenomenal. I was on the board that night and obviously tweeting it out from the account at 102.5. What a night, what an event. Preds are looking good, although with 64 saves, the defense has not been extraordinary. So that needs to pick up, but we're on the right track. We just got to keep the momentum, and big win last night over the Caps. I mean, you don't beat teams like that if you're a bad team.
Well, so. with the way Soros started off the season, you know, he had a rough, you know, go at it the first week or two. And to see him really bounce back and you know, play at an all-star level. And then we also talked about, you know, guys like Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg and some of these main goal scorers for the Nashville Predators to really step up. I mean, Philip Forsberg having a hat trick last week and him, you know, climbing up in the goals. This team really is kind of taking a turn, and you know, with the health of the defensemen on this team and them kind of getting back and starting to gel again in their rotations, I really do believe that this team has an opportunity to turn around their season. So good for the Nashville Predators, and that's definitely good for the station that, you know, they seem to be getting back on track.
Yes, Junie, of course. And also, too, you know, fair to mention, not only Philip Forsberg, not only Matt Duchene, but a lot of the young guys have really come in here and made themselves known. Cody Glass on the board the other night in Carolina, and then also Tommy Novak again, and then also UC Parsonen. So a lot of these young guys, we're finally starting to see some offensive production from them, in addition to the Philip Forsbergs, the Nino Niederreiters, and the Matt Duchene. So the way I like to explain it, and how I explained it earlier this week, is I feel like finally, you know, that like veteran group of guys who's used to, you know, taking this team on their back, they're finally seeing some of that production from the younger guys on their team. So that's great from them. Also, you know, Kevin Lankinen was in goal last night. I think that we all kind of questioned that offseason move to get another backup, and we said backup quarterback, backup goalie for the Nashville Predators. But I mean, he has shown that he can be a sufficient backup goalie for this Nashville Predators team, because in an 82 game season, you know, we saw that UC Soros last year kind of got burnt out a bit towards the end. So, you know, just keeping on top of, you know, letting UC have some games. I think he should sit out the next two games. You know, last night, obviously, Kevin Lankinen was in goal for the Predators, but, you know, having that balance and being able to be confident in a guy like Kevin Lankinen to step in goal and be able to get some significant wins.
Well, you made a really good point there, in that UC Soros, you know, he played 70 plus games last year, which I think the second highest was almost like 8 to 10 games less than that. So, you know, by the time he got to the, you know, by the time the Preds got to the playoffs, he was so worn down and beat up that he didn't even get to play in that Colorado Avalanche series. So the fact that they invested in such a good backup goaltender and that they're getting such good production out of him, like he's playing, you know, starter level, that, you know, I've honestly, he's probably going to be looked at for maybe a starting position next year the way he's been playing for the Preds when he comes in. So this is definitely huge for this team to have a really solid backup goaltender to give Starles that proper rest so that, you know, if it does come down to it and they do, you know, get back into the playoff scenario, that Starles should be well rested and ready to go for the playoffs this year.
I mean, this team has pretty much had a constant backup quarterback. I said it, Michelle, because of you.
See?
Yeah,
see?
Backup goaltender. I mean, look at when Pekka was here. Like, we had plenty of people, and then obviously Saros comes in. But last year, having Big Save Dave and Connor Ingram, like, that just clearly wasn't going to get the job done. So when this team set out and got Lankinen, it just gives you a little bit more of a boost, too, that you can rest Saros for a little bit more and have comfortability mm-hmm. to know that you're not going to lose them just because of letting goals in. There's got to be more keys to that. But, yeah, I agree with y'all completely. This gives you just a little bit of extra security going forward.
Well, and then you've also got Askarov, who is in the AHL right now. Predators fans are very familiar with him, the young star goaltender. So you hope that you can have a sufficient backup now, and then a similar situation whenever he is ready to move up to the NHL, you can have sort of a, you know, a Pekka Saros situation and be able to eventually, you know, trend him into the starting role. Switching quickly to the Tennessee Volunteers football team, they named their new offensive coordinator, Joey Hazel. So he will be the new OC for the Tennessee Volunteers. Also got the national championship game coming up this Monday between the Georgia Bulldogs and the TCU Horned Frogs. Quite a big spread on that, but we'll be making our picks for that. We'll also be making our picks for the Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars game, taking a look around the NFL as a whole. Our picks are brought to you by Superbook Sportsbook. We'll be making those at 9:45 today. If you want to text in, call in, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But up next, talking Titans, Jags. How important is this game for the Tennessee Titans? And what can it say about the future of this franchise? Junie and I will discuss all on the other side coming up on the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Derek, this core group has won a lot of big games together, in particular a lot of big road games. And sometimes it is people picking it or whatever. You know, a lot of people think that maybe you get hurt last year, for example, go out to LA and get a big win. You've been a part of a lot of those wins. Why is there a consistent element of this team that has been a part of that?
Yeah, I just think we trust and believe in, you know, the culture here, the guys here, and, you know, teammates and our game plan and, you know, what we want to do. You know, the style of football we like to play. And I think it's just, you know, wanting to get back into that, coming to work every day with a great mindset, positive attitude, and wanting to get better and pushing each other to be better. Just when we go out there, we execute and do what we need to do on Saturday.
That was Derrick Henry earlier this week discussing the matchup tonight in Jacksonville. Win or lose and go home. Win in advance, lose or go home for the AFC South showdown. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, live from Jacksonville this morning. We've got Junie Riddle and Jared Cassidy live from our game studios. If you want to watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, we stream live every day. Also on Facebook, our video stream is brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. Guys, really quick before we get into the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars discussion, a big story that I didn't even mention in our morning brew. Absolutely amazing news that we got on Friday regarding the DeMar Hamlin situation that happened on Monday Night Football. Everybody saw that, you know, on national television, him collapsing, having to receive CPR on the field, and then being transported to the Cincinnati Medical Center. Just, you know, in less than a week's time, been covering it every single day and waiting for updates. I didn't think we would get updates as soon as we did, but just amazing news that they've been able to take the breathing tube out. He was able to FaceTime his teammates yesterday. Sean McDermott, Josh Allen all spoke on the whole situation, but just a really scary moment across the entire NFL. But so happy that he is, you know, up, awake, living, breathing, because it was very scary there for a second. Also, he, you know, had a toy drive. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but he had a toy drive that he did during Christmas this year, and his goal was $2,500. And I think it is well over $8 million now. So just, you know, amazing. Hopefully that can help also too with some of his medical bills and his family. Who knows if he ever will play football again, but quality of life. So amazing to see that he is up. He's neurologically intact, was able to FaceTime his teammates. So just a pretty special moment on Friday.
And I can tell you from my end, you know, watching that live, you know, I was watching it with my wife, Shayna, and when I saw that, she had looked over at me, and, you know, she's kind of new to watching football. And mm-hmm. I explained to her, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. As soon as I saw, you know, the faces of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and especially mm-hmm. the way Tre'Davious White was breaking down and bawling. I mean, you could just tell. And then Joe Buck came on and said that they were performing CPR. And once he said that, I was like, oh my God. And you know, my dad being a firefighter, I have seen him, you know, do CPR on people before. I have been a lifeguard. CPR, if you've ever seen it in person, is a horrific thing to watch. And a lot of times when you have to go to that and take that measure, you know, a lot of times people don't come back from that. And so shout out to the Bills and the Bengals training staffs, their physicians, the first responders that got him there, the doctors, the nurses that have been, you know, at his bedside taking care of him. And it's just it is truly a miracle that he is breathing today on his own, and that he is fully neurologically intact. So just, you know, just it is a blessing that he's doing well.
Yeah, it's really cool to see. I mean, obviously, like you said, Junie, a big part of this has to go to the people on the field for their mm-hmm. timely choices that they made in giving him CPR. Thought it was really neat that all the players, I mean, you could tell just how distraught that they were about what just happened, but they all kind of came together. And I want to know, and we might not ever know this, but I want to know if it was more of the players and coaches that got them to cancel the game, or if it was more on the NFL. Like I said, we might not ever know that, but you got to think that the players and the coaches, I mean, Sean McDermott, you know, when they met at midfield, I mean, you have to think that they just said, hey, we can't do this, you know, like there's just no way we can do this. But definitely thoughts and prayers with him. Also to the UC medical staff up there for getting the job done and getting mm-hmm. him right on the bright track. So obviously, unfortunately, that the show has to go on because of the timing of all this. But just mm-hmm. thoughts and prayers with him for all this rest of this week.
And on that note, really quick, Jared, that you just mentioned. So that game did have some playoff implications regarding, you know, the one seed. So the three scenarios that they did propose: scenario one, Buffalo and Kansas City both win or tie this weekend. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship would be at a neutral site. Scenario two, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose. Baltimore wins or ties. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship would be at a neutral site. Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Cincinnati wins. A Buffalo or Cincinnati versus Kansas City championship game would be at the neutral site, because those are the three top teams in the AFC. Now they are looking to find a neutral site. A couple reports came out last night. Indianapolis isn't able to do it because of scheduling conflicts. I know that Detroit also isn't able to do it because they're doing something with their field that was scheduled prior. So honestly, I was talking on Chase and Michelle earlier this week. You would assume Indy, because I feel like it's such a central location and so many teams go there for, you know, of course, March Madness and just so many big events are always held there, the Big Ten Championship. But somebody mentioned, you know, maybe somewhere in Ohio, but they wouldn't do that if the Bengals are in it because that's still in the same state. I was thinking Nashville. Like, Nashville could be a viable option for an AFC championship game. It's a central location. It's an outdoor field. I wouldn't be surprised if they could be a potential location for the AFC championship on a neutral site. Obviously, if the Titans aren't in it, but I don't think they will be. But
well, if the Titans were in it, then they wouldn't have to do the neutral site. So, yeah. I agree with you. I think, you know, reports have come out. I think I saw Ian Rappaport say this on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, that, you know, since all these teams are outdoor teams, that they would prefer to do it at an outdoor stadium. So Nashville, I think, definitely has to be one of the top places. But you know, if they're really not worried about indoor or outdoor, I think you also got to take a look at Atlanta as well. You know, Atlanta having such a big airport, I think has to do with that. You know, going to travel, you know, you never know this time of year with snow hitting, especially in places like Buffalo. Kansas City gets pretty bad weather too. So, you know, a place like Atlanta that is used to, you know, hosting big events could probably do it on the fly if need be. So I'm looking at kind of Nashville and Atlanta to be, you know, two possible destinations for if this scenario does come about.
Yeah, and just to read a little bit of the statement that Ian Rapoport put out there. So the owners had a meeting and they all voted on it. So basically the outcome of it was to mitigate certain competitive effects in the AFC playoff resulting in two clubs playing fewer regular season games, effect to require the AFC championship game to be played at a neutral site to provide a possible site change in the wild card game between Baltimore and Cincinnati under defined definite conditions. So shout out to the NFL. You know, that was the last thing people were thinking about on Monday night. It was all about DeMar, but you know, we saw even in the COVID year of the NFL having to switch things kind of at a moment's notice, switch games, cancel games. This is a little bit harder just because it is week 18, but it looks like they found a solution for it all. Some people texted in earlier this week and said, you know, well, if you are the number one seed, like you deserve to have home field, but listen, all that is BS at this point. This circumstance was, nobody could have thought that this would happen. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is football compared to what happened this week. And if you're a fan, you just got to get over it. If one of those teams does get the number one seed and you're not at a neutral site, I mean, even just speaking on Kansas City for a second, how many AFC championships have they hosted there and you guys have gotten home field?
Exactly. And, you know, and also,
it is.
In regards to the Kansas City Chiefs, number one, they have no room to talk because they lost to both of these teams. They lost to the Bills the Bengals this season. So, I mean, really, you know, I feel like the winner of that game of the Bills and Bengals, since it was such a high magnitude game, I mean, I going into it, I called it the game of the year that it was supposed to be. And I really do believe that the winner of that game would have likely had a really good shot at locking up home field, more, you know, especially if it was the Bills. They would have, you know, they would have been the number one seed, and if they would have beat the Patriots, they would have held on to it. So, yeah, Kansas City, you know, especially if they get the bye, which I think the way this is set up, that they will. They shouldn't complain because if you really wanted to have home field, you would have beat one of these two teams anyway, and you would have had it. So Kansas City has no room to talk. Now, the one team that does is Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati kind of could have an issue with this because if they were to fall to Baltimore this weekend, which I don't think that will happen, but if it does and they are the divisional winner regardless of the outcome, that it comes down to a coin flip on who gets home field between the Ravens and Bengals if they were to match up in the wild card round, which I think that's kind of odd. I don't like that at all. I think it should be played in Cincinnati, but if anybody has any complaints, it should be the Cincinnati Bengals.
Comes down to a coin flip. But just taking a look at the most important coin flip ever in those teams, probably coin flip history, but taking a look at the slate of games we got today, the first one, 4:30, we've got Chiefs at Raiders. So we talked about earlier, you know, if the Chiefs win, tie, or it will have implications on the one seed. Then also the big one that we will be talking about specifically next segment, we'll be previewing it. We got Titans, Jags, 8:15. This one is for the division. It's win or go home basically for that one. Then tomorrow you've got Patriots at Bills. You've got Vikings at Bears, Texans at Colts. Both of those teams are already out. Jets at Dolphins. Dolphins are they're still in the hunt. Panthers at Saints, Bucks at Falcons, Browns at Steelers, Ravens at Bengals, Cowboys at Commanders, and then Rams, Seahawks, and then, oh my goodness, we still have more. Chargers, Broncos, Cardinals, Niners, and then Sunday Night Football, Lions, Packers. So a couple of the teams that are still in the hunt. So we'll start with the Lions, Packers. So Packers, if they win this game, they are in the playoffs no matter what. Lions, if the Seahawks win against the Rams, then the Lions are already eliminated by the time Sunday Night Football comes up. Other teams that are still in the hunt, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Dolphins. Obviously, the Niners are already in. Cardinals are out. Chargers will play for, depending on which seed they play. Well, it'll depend on who wins or who loses. I already talked about Rams, Seahawks, Giants, Eagles. Eagles are still trying to get that one seed. If they lose against the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys win against the Commanders, the Dallas Cowboys will get the one seed in the NFC. So those two games still have pretty big implications. And then Ravens, Bengals. We already discussed that one, Junie. Browns, Steelers. So the Steelers are still trying to get into the playoffs. So Junie, correct me if I'm wrong. So they need to beat the Browns, but then they also need the Patriots to lose and the Dolphins to lose?
Yes. So the Patriots will be heading to Buffalo to take on the Bills. And then the Jets have to beat the Dolphins. And it's the backup of third string quarterback. So Joe Flacco is going to be taking on. What is, I always forget, is it Skylar something for Skylar Thompson? Is it Skylar Thompson, Jared, for the Miami Dolphins?
Ooh.
I don't even know at this point.
I don't know. The Dolphins have been so riddled. I mean, you know, Teddy Bridgewater comes in last week. He's playing pretty well against New England. And then he ends up, what, breaking a finger or breaking something in his hand? Yeah, it's Skylar. It's Skylar Thompson. But, you know, so it's going to be an interesting day. So if the Steelers can end up getting a win over the Browns, honestly, you know, with Skylar Thompson playing for Miami and going up against the Jets defense, Patriots having to go to Buffalo, Steelers honestly have a genuine chance to make the playoffs after, you know, starting out 2-6 on the season.
Yes, they have a pretty good shot. Then also the Bucs are already in. They play at the Falcons. They got the division already last week with the win over the Panthers. You got Panthers, Saints. That one won't be anything. Jets, Dolphins, you already mentioned that. Texans, Colts, they're both out. But if the Texans win, then the Bears will get the number one pick if they lose to the Vikings, which they should lose to the Vikings. Justin Fields isn't playing.
Well, they also need the Texans to win in order to get that. So Texans have to beat the Colts, and then the Bears have to lose in order for the Bears to get the number one.
I said. That's what I just said. I said Texans, Colts. If the Texans beat the Colts. But that was my college shot of the week. I think that they will beat the Colts. But a lot of implications happening today and tomorrow in the NFL world. And we are in NFL playoff time. So excited. But the most important game around this area, around Jacksonville, around Nashville, is win or go home this weekend at 7:15 tonight in Jacksonville. Titans, Jags. What are the keys to victory for this Tennessee Titans team? And if they lose, what could this mean for the franchise moving forward? Junie and I discuss all of that and more on the other side on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Mike, how much is the winning you guys have done the last few years and what you've been able to build in that locker room? How much does that matter, translate to a game?
Well, I don't think it matters, Joe. I think it matters, you know, the wins, the losses. I think it's just, it all really just comes down to how we play this week and whatever we did last week or 3 weeks ago, you know, whatever we did against Jacksonville. In this league, it's all about, you know, that game and how that unfolds and what transpires and how you take care of the football and how you can make the corrections. I think, you know, if we can do some things a little bit better, we'll give ourselves a chance to go win.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier this week discussing the game in Jacksonville tonight. Titans, Jags, win or go home. And that's our very own Joe Rexroad asking him, do you think that it helps to have guys on your team who've been in this situation before, who experienced a winning season? Mike Vrabel said, no, we're just focusing on this game. We're focusing on 1-0 every single week, and they can't let anything from this season affect their mindset heading into this game. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, live from Jacksonville this morning. Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy, live from our game studios in Nashville. Titans, Jags tonight. We promised we'd preview the game for you. This has been quite a wild turn of events this season, with the Tennessee Titans being 7-3 at one point and having about a 90% chance to win the division. Whereas on the other side, the Jags had about 3 wins and then have just been on a tear since week 9 after their bye week, or sorry, idle week. Joe will get mad at me. And have really been on a tear. Trevor Lawrence has been performing at such an elite level, and it's clear why he was drafted where he was, now seeing how he's been able to transfer it into the NFL. You got Doug Peterson at the helm, Super Bowl winning head coach, and you have a lot of young guys who they've been able to figure it out. Christian Kirk has been able to put up some numbers for this team. Travis Etienne, their run game. So, Junie, the Jacksonville Jaguars have traditionally been the underdog, right? They've been the franchise where people never think they'll do much. They haven't been able to, you know, compete at a high level in this league in a very long time. And now they are here sitting in week 18 up for the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans, who have won the division the last 2 years. Something the Titans have never done is win the division 3 years in a row. Both of these teams are at completely different points. This Tennessee Titans team is on a 6-game losing streak. This Jags team is on a losing streak at the beginning of the season. So they're able to flip it around, and now they've won a bunch of games straight to now be in contention for the division title. What are your initial thoughts heading into this game this weekend or tonight?
Well, I definitely agree that the Titans should be significant underdogs in this game. They're going on the road. They're playing a much healthier Jacksonville Jaguars team. And at the current moment, the way these two rosters are constructed, a more talented Jacksonville Jaguars team. And especially when you're going in without your starting quarterback and the guy that you have in has only been here for about 2.5 weeks, it gives this team a very slim chance to win this game. But, Michelle, I do have a couple keys to victory for the Titans. Number one, Derrick Henry has to get at least 25 carries in this game. 25 to 30 carries has got to be the number. During this losing streak, there have been games where he hasn't even touched the ball 20 times, and I think that has some part to do with why the Titans have been losing, because they don't use Derrick Henry in some of these key situations. You have to establish the run, especially with Joshua Dobbs at the helm at quarterback, and Derrick Henry, you know, with such an uncertain offseason upcoming for the Tennessee Titans, could this potentially be his last game? You just never know with where this organization could be going. So Derrick Henry has got to get the ball. Keep Trevor Lawrence under pressure is going to be number two. He threw for 368 yards, a career game in Nissan Stadium a few weeks ago when they came in town and absolutely decimated the Tennessee Titans. The final score was 36-22, and that doesn't even give it justice to how big of a blowout it actually was. You know, having DeNico Autry back in the lineup, Jeffrey Simmons getting the week off last week, these two guys have to have their absolute best game and cause duress for Trevor Lawrence. And you know he's had a fumbling issue throughout the season, so getting a fumble, forcing an interception or two are going to be keys, because the Titans have to win the turnover battle, which is my third point. They have to win this turnover battle by at least 2 turnovers. So whether they get 3 and they only commit 1, or whether they only get 2 and the Titans don't turn the ball over at all, they have got to win this battle, and it's got to be significant, because this team, like I said, Michelle, when it comes to, you know, offensive production, I just don't see the Titans scoring more than 20 points, and if they're not going to score more than 20 points, then this defense has to put up one hell of an effort.
And, Junie, you touched on it. This Jacksonville Jaguars team, before you touched on the keys of the game, is a lot healthier than this Tennessee Titans team. Injuries has been the name of the game all season, all last year and all this year for the Tennessee Titans. Just a couple guys I want to note that are either out or in Treylon Burks is a big one to keep an eye on. Limited participation Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. Mike Vrabel touched on it and said, you know, we held him out today. He should be okay, was his wording for Saturday. He's been one of the offensive, you know, bright lights, especially without Derrick Henry on the field in Thursday Night Football. We've seen the connection him and Josh Dobbs have been able to make together. I got to talk to him earlier in the week in the locker room, and he was like, you know, I'm so excited for a game like this. This is my dream, right? Every rookie dreams of being able to, you know, compete for a playoff spot. Every little kid who wants to play in the NFL someday. So I do think that he will play. It comes down to how much will he be able to play? How bad is that groin injury? Will he tweak it? So it'll be interesting to see how much of a factor he is able to be on the field. Amani Hooker was another questionable one. He was a limited participant earlier this week. Joe Rexroad talked to him. Amani said, I feel good. I'm ready to play. So that is great news for your secondary back there.
Especially you know, with
Jeffrey
the
Simmons
Andrew
is
Adams.
Back. Nico.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I thought you were done there.
Especially with Andrew.
Yeah.
No. No, you're fine. Zoom, we get a little delayed there. But no, Junie, that is a great point that you just mentioned, because Andrew Adams, we obviously saw his injury on Thursday Night Football. But up into my next point, Christian Fulton, he had the hamstring earlier this year. Now it's the groin. He's going to be one of the biggest, I mean, maybe questions. I don't think he plays. He's been limited participation all week, but I mean, that's a huge loss in the secondary, especially as you mentioned, the Adams injury on Thursday. That secondary is already a young group. They don't have much depth back there. Elijah Molden hasn't played at all this year. You've got Kevin Byard back there. You've got Roger McCreary, but Adams was a guy they'd been able to rely on, especially with Christian Fulton, you know, being in and out with the hamstring and now the groin injury.
No, most definitely. And I think Amani Hooker playing and telling our own Joe Rexroad that he's going to be good to go is huge for this team. Because imagine this secondary without Christian Fulton, the cornerback position has been depleted all year long for this team. And then, you know, you add Andrew Adams and Amani Hooker not playing would have been devastating. So just having, both safeties back there is at least going to kind of keep the lid on things for this Titans secondary. But again, you know, we saw, Trey Avery commit that huge 50-plus yard penalty that set the Cowboys up for a score. So, you know, we've seen what these corners, they're susceptible to mistakes and big ones that could cause havoc in this game. So, you know, like I said, if Denico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons are doing what they need to do, it's really, really, really going to help out these Titans corner that have a tough matchup against guys like you had mentioned, Christian Kirk. You know, Zay Jones has come on really well. Evan Ingram has really elevated his game since coming down to Jacksonville, and he had a career year last time these two teams matched up. So it's going to be really key on this front seven to help the back end of this defense going forward in tonight's matchup.
Another guy also to look out for who's listed as questionable. Let me start at the beginning. Devontae Harris is the only player who is officially out. Questionable, Dylan Cole, right? That outside linebacker group is very, very thin right now. If Dylan Cole plays, that is huge for that group. Christian Fulton, we just talked about, questionable. Amani Hooker, and also Nicholas Petitfrere. I know he's a rookie, but I mean, he's one of the offensive linemen who actually has, you know, enough reps under his belt. You want him out there rather than the line that they put out on Thursday night. So all those guys listed as questionable. The only one that I'm nervous that won't play is Christian Fulton. I think that all the other guys give it a go. So listen, it is time to make our picks. We talked about how Jacksonville has been the heavy, heavy favorite leading into this game. A lot of national media members picking the Jags to win. The spread is at 6.5. Junie and I will give you our picks presented by Superbook Sports on the other side of the break to close out the show. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. It is that time, Nashville. Who is ready to make a little money this afternoon? Junie and I and Jared will make our picks of the weekend. We've got a final week 18 for the NFL, and we were going to pick the national championship game as well. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezvig. Junie Riddle. We've also got Jared Cassidy on the ones and the twos in Nashville this morning. Guys, our final week of regular season football. It is a little bittersweet.
It's bittersweet, but I'm really looking forward to making our picks today because your boy was undefeated last week. I would like to mention that. I was the only one to go with Ohio State to cover the spread. I said it. I had a feeling. And then, of course, you know, when it came down to the Music City Bowl, which what a beautiful game that was. You know, you and Jared rolled. I think Jared went with Iowa with me as well, but, you know, you went with Kentucky, Michelle, and yeah, that was a homer take.
Some people make bad choices, and that was one of them for me.
Jared did go with the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah,
oh, he
I
did?
Remember, I did. Jared. I went with Kentucky. Yeah, oh. I did go with Kentucky. But I also picked TCU, though. So
well, I picked props here. I picked TCU. Well, I think we all picked TCU. And that was yes. That was a really good pick. I didn't think they'd win, but they covered. But, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling really good here recently. I've stacked up a couple good weeks of picking. So if you're tuning in right now, you better jot down what I have to say because you will win some money. I won about $150 last weekend in my bets, so I'm doing real good this holiday season. So
we love to hear that. Well, guys, we will start with the game we've been talking about all show long, the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've been saying this all week during my Superbook reads. I feel pretty confident in this one. I think the Tennessee Titans cover that 6.5-point spread. I think this is a close game. I think it's going to be decided between either an extra point or a field goal. So give me the Tennessee Titans plus the 6.5, but I will pick the Jacksonville Jaguars on the money line. I think they do come out with the win today. As much as it would be great for Nashville for the Titans to win, I think the Jags come out on the other side.
I am going to it's so hard to pick for me because, you know, I thought Jacksonville would run away with this, but then I came to my senses, and I think it's going to be a close game. So I'm going to take the Titans on the points. I think the Jags are definitely going to win. I'm going to say 21 to 16 is my score prediction. So the Titans cover, but the Jacksonville Jaguars will be your AFC South champions.
Man,
Jared,
I got to credit Jared Stillman. I smell a Vrabel special coming on today. So I'm going to roll with the Titans with the 6.5. I would also consider taking them on the money line as well. Just something about this is just screaming two-tone blue to me.
Well, I am very excited to see, you know, the amount of fans who are there today, the environment. But listen, if it's a Vrabel special, I that would be quite the crazy environment. I hope for my sake that they do win because then post game the interviews they'll be the guys will be in a much better mood.
I feel like everybody in this town is getting sucked into this idea that they're going to win this game. I don't see it. I feel like too many, you know, media talent in this town have been picking the Titans for it to actually happen. I don't know. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars really want this, and I think they're the much better team at the current moment. I don't see the Titans pulling this one out. I really don't. But, you know,
that is why we love the NFL, because listen, every week anything can happen. Okay, next we're going to stick with the AFC South. We've got the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. Will the Houston Texans screw up their draft position, guys? I think that was my called shot. I think that they will win today. So I'm going to take the Houston Texans plus the 3 points. Ginny?
Give me the Colts. I think Jeff Saturday is really going to want to pull out a win to try and somewhat, you know, have a chance to keep this job, which I doubt he will. But yeah, give me the Colts. I don't think they want to mess this up to get that number one pick.
I will take the Colts. Obviously, similar to what Ginny just said, Jeff Saturday's kind of got a lot on the line, you know. Just think he rallies the team together, and we'll see how they look. But the Texans just, I think they're locked into their group, to their seed.
Okay, guys, moving on to Sunday Night Football. We've got the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Remember, we talked about this a little earlier today. If the Green Bay Packers win, they're going to the playoffs. But the Lions need the Seahawks to lose earlier in the day And then if they beat the Lions, or then if they beat the Packers, the Lions will be going to the playoffs. This spread has moved a bit since Friday. It was 4.5 in favor of the Packers. The line has moved to 5 points. I am going to take the Detroit Lions plus the 5. I do think that they have a potential to make this a pretty close game. I think Green Bay does come out on top, but ooh, would it be great to see a Lions win in Green Bay in week 18, Junie?
I'll tell you this, I already have money on this game with the legendary Joe Rutschler.
Oh, I know you do.
And I'll tell you this, I'm not going with the plus 5 with the Lions. I'm going Lions money line. Lions are winning this game, and the Rams, who historically, even when they're the worst team, play the Seahawks super well. I think there is a real shot that the Lions win. I've seen some interviews with some of their players. They think Green Bay doesn't respect them. They think Aaron Rodgers doesn't respect them. And I think Dan Campbell and company is really going to turn the tide for this organization. And the biggest hurdle that they have is beating the big dogs in the division. They go into Lambeau Field. They get it done. They get the win.
Yeah, give me
Jared Quigley.
Give me Detroit Rock City. That's all I gotta say. I'm on the fighting Dan Campbells.
Restore the roar. Okay, guys, rapid fire. We've got just about a minute left on the program before we hand the reins to Caroline Fenton, and I know she'll be discussing this game a lot. National championship coming up on Monday. TCU, Georgia. Georgia is a 12.5 point favorite. Listen. Respect the freaking Horned Frogs. I'm taking TCU plus the 12.5. I think they put up a really, really good fight. I think Georgia does become the national champions once again. Junie, who are you picking for this game?
I'm picking the Dogs. I think it's going to be a blowout. TCU's Cinderella story was great. It was a great win over Michigan, but that is over. You know, historically, the quarterfinal games have been blowouts. We were too blessed to have two great games. So I think it's inevitable that the national championship is a blowout, and Georgia is going to wipe the floor with TCU.
Quigley, Jared.
I will ride on the Cinderella story. Give me the Hypnotoads, baby. Let's roll.
Let's go, Horned Frogs. I like the way you think, Jared. Guys, what an awesome show on Saturday. We're handing it over to Caroline Fenton. Next, you're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.